Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Signage of private parking lots. This week, the code enforcement team visited the private parking lots to inspect the compliance of the new ordinance. We investigated 44 privately owned parking lots in the city. To little surprise, none had the proper required signage posted. So we're going to put those notices of violations on the list of property owners and give them 30 days to comply.
Oh, for 44. They went to look at the private lots to see if they were in compliance with the requirement to have the signage up saying this is a private lot, not a government lot. Here's a phone number to call if there's a problem. You know, they put in this rule not that long ago, and then they went by to check and see if anybody was in compliance with it. And the answer is ofer.
Also sent courtesy copies of the notice of violations to the paid parking companies who are responsible. So Level, Premium, that where they are outfitting, they are the vendor working on behalf of the private property owners. We've also notified them, even though they don't own the lots themselves, since they are the ones operating in there, we're making sure that they are aware.
We got blue lots for the city. That's fine. That's very simple. Most of them are free now, but, you know, when they get back to being a cost, it's a pay with the app. But then you got the other colors. I guess we know there's red. The mayor was saying there was green. I guess there's other different companies out there, but none of those are the real one. And they're all required to have these signs up if they're operating within the city. Plus,
it's their responsibility, their requirement, I believe by state statute and local, that they have somebody available to handle any customer service issues on those private parking lots 24/7, 365. That has been wildly inconsistent as well over years of time, but that is what is required.
There's a theme this morning about bad customer service by, you know, either operators or utility companies or those who pull fiber and all that kind of stuff. Now, it's funny, when I was listening to him say this and he made the comment, we went by to check to see if the lots had the proper signage up, and he said they did not. And for a moment, and he went on to say, what we've done is we've sent them notices to, you know, fix this within 30 days. And I don't know, for some reason, I had a different idea of what they should have done is instead of sending a note to these folks, hey, fix it within 30 days, they should have put a giant yellow metal lock on the parking lot in the shape of a boot to make it so that the lot couldn't operate unless they called the city and paid a fee to get the door lock unlocked. And just because, you know, that's what they've done, right, is, you know, if you're parked wrong one time, they put the boot on your car. And you got to deal with it because they don't have any municipal authority. They can't call law enforcement to handle it. They've got to, you know, physically impound your car, basically. And I thought, you know, it'd be fitting if these parking lots got closed down by the city. And almost to the point where I think it would be kind of funny if the mayor, and the problem is he'd have to pay for it, but, you know, if the mayor ordered giant metal boot-shaped barriers that he could put on the private lots. And then, you know, anybody who's not in compliance with the law, you got booted. And then everybody driving by could see, you know, would that be funny, John? Would that be entertaining?
Yes, that would definitely be entertaining.
It's part of this whole, like, when people do stupid, mean things, it makes you want to get back at them, you know, and punish them and humiliate them for how they've treated you. And I don't know. There's some idea in there that I think makes sense that it would be kind of fun to see it actually. I don't. They're probably not going to actually do it, but it would be kind of entertaining. Meanwhile, the mayor also talking about data centers yesterday at his press conference after he told us what he told us in the morning, which is similar.
I just want to be clear. I'm not going to speak for the county or Florida West. I can speak as the administration of the city. Data centers are not anywhere in our model of economic development in the city of Pensacola. We have a lot of amazing things happening right now with shipbuilding, with maintenance repair overhaul and aerospace technology, cybersecurity. That's why we have an economic development department here, is to take these focuses within our city limits and figure out how to maximize the value and the return on investment for that.
It's foci, sir. You don't say focuses. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, like, we're not even trying to do that. By the way, there's been some reporting that we're like involved in active negotiations with a data center. And all I know is, you know, I specifically asked Florida West's Chris Plate about this the other day. And this, the text that he sent me at, where was it? It was like midnight. I got the answer back from him. So this was 30 hours ago. Okay. Midnight, Tuesday into Wednesday. He said specifically, no active negotiations. We are chatting with one, a small one, very early. We're just doing due diligence. They're doing their due diligence on us, too. We have no firm specs such as need electric load. So that's straight from the, I mean, he's not a horse, but, you know, that's straight from the economic development director's mouth. Okay? That's where we're at. And he heard the mayor, of course, yesterday saying there's not anything like this going on in the city.
Is not a commentary on anything that's being proposed or existing. I don't have any information on that. And the county, as does neighboring counties, have different priorities and value propositions of what they want to do or not do. But I can tell you I will not be a proponent of data centers inside the city limits anytime soon.
There you go. He doesn't. I mean, he's not necessarily opposed to it, but he's not advocating for it because we see all kinds of other things that we are doing in the city.
If something goes in the county, or anywhere in the neighboring area that could have a potential environmental impact on the city of Pensacola, we are going to be hyper aware of any progress on that. And our full expectation is that we would be looped in at that appropriate time. That is not me saying that we need to be looped in now.
You know, that's water, power grid, pollution, whatever, you know, noise. I've been told that the bigger ones produce a kind of a weird hum that's disruptive to some people. Anyway, those are all the concerns that people have. To me, this is also very preliminary, and what I can't quite figure out is the people that are worked up about it, you know, if there's some organized thing behind that, or if it's just people are scared about these things. It's been a weird overreaction to a not quite news story, in my opinion. But, you know, there we are. I don't use the AI, so it's not my fault that we have these things. It's all y'all using the AI. And so, anyway, 616 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that every Florida West project is evaluated
I know. See? Perfect.
Perfect. I know. Evaluated on jobs created, wages paid, and generates a positive return on investment to Escambia County taxpayers. Still rolling accident-free, also delay-free. Looks like I-10, I-110, 9 Mile, 2990. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with HR, you have to deal with health insurance, vision, dental, life, disability. You have to deal with payroll, all the fun things in life. Well, no, not exactly. But guess what? There is a company that actually likes doing this. They are now in their 25th year of business, Torgerson Consulting. We've been using them for 5 years here at News Radio and Cat Country, and they're great. They came in and gave us better choices than we had, better plans at a better price, and they're not miracle workers, okay? I don't want to promise you, like, you're going to get them, and then all of a sudden your health insurance is going to cut in half. The marketplace sucks. It's terrible. Thanks, Obama. But, you know, I know that every year they find us the best ones available, and they work really hard to do that. And then when we have questions, they have great customer service, which, again, these are all things that improved when we started using them 5 years ago. So if you'd like to find out if there is a better way to treat your employees, or maybe a way to save money, or maybe both, give them a call. No obligation to have them look at what you're doing. They've been helping local businesses like yours for 25 years now. Give them a call, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Oh, John.
What, Andrew?
I might have been mistaken about something.
Wait, whoa.
Maybe two things.
What? You?
I'll tell you when come up next.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid. Installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages. Keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Hello! My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die!
All right, I told you that I might have been wrong about not one, but maybe two things. Not exactly connected to each other, but the common thread here is these are things that have to do with either directly or not so directly Mel Luna and the county, you know, issues with the library director thing, and then her being on the contractor competency board. And I should tell you, she's a friend. We get along great. That's, you know, neither here nor there. I've had a couple of conversations with people, and I've gotten some subsequent information that I think have changed my mind, at least on one, maybe on two things, which is my way of saying I think I might have had it wrong. First of all, the issue of being on a subordinate board, you know, Ashley Hoffberg, she's Ashley Hoffberger's aide, okay, who's also a friend, she's also on the contractor competency board. She was put on before Ashley was in office, and so before she was hired on as staff at the county, she was working on this board, and this came up recently in a board meeting. And Mike Kohler raised a big stink about this, saying it's, you know, totally wrong for her to be on that board. The attorney Allison Rogers says there's no law against it. All you have to do is be a citizen. It doesn't, you know, voter. You don't have to be not an employee or not a staff, even though she recommends it not being the case. And I've had a couple of people, and I said, yeah, I mean, I actually think, like, you would want to appoint the person that you trust and respect and like their judgment. The kind of person you'd hire to be your chief of staff is kind of the person you'd really want to have on a board. Because if you believe in them enough to make them your, you know, chief of staff or your, you know, district aide, then why wouldn't you want their judgment, expertise, capability, whatever, on some board? And the response that I got from people whose judgment, you know, I respect, said, well, Andrew, the conflict of interest problems, the appearance of influence on independent boards, and particularly for the contractor competency board, even though they've not had a case, it's gone up to the BCC while she's been in office, and that's, you know, as Stephen Barry mentioned, that's kind of worth mentioning. If it did, it would, you know, create the appearance of bias or of influence, maybe a cause for legal action. But, and this was the specific point that was made about this particular situation, contractor competency hearings are quasi-judicial. And therefore, when the BCC hears any appeal from the Contractor Competency Board, it's also quasi-judicial. And because of that, since we know, you know, I mean, it's not a surprise that Mel and Ashley communicate a lot and text a lot and are very good friends, of course. It would at least raise the question of, was Mel texting with Ashley about things that are not supposed to be, you're not supposed to have prior information or outside information. You're only supposed to have the testimony. And so would it be a particular or unique problem for a quasi-judicial hearing and, you know, undue influence or inappropriate communications? I see that concern. So I think probably the best thing would be for Mel to leave the board. So, you know, I changed my opinion about that. I still don't think it's a big issue. I don't think it's, you know, I'm kind of going to have the same opinion about the library board thing. But I was persuaded that it's probably a better idea not to have her on that board. So, okay. Similarly with the library board, and this is one I still cannot get myself super worked up about this. And I know some people have got their teeth into this thing and think it's the biggest story in the universe. I just don't. But, you know, that aside, the actual documents that created the library board of governance, it's not quite as simple as I've been kind of saying that, well, I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they just did away with the board. You know, might be that they could do that. And, you know, if Wes Moreno can hire the director, then Wes Moreno can maybe they could, or the board could decide to just get rid of that board and run it like any other department. Not so fast, because there is an interlocal agreement with the city is involved in this. As you know, there's an appointment from the city on that five-person board. I believe it's five. If I'm wrong about that, I apologize, but I'm pretty sure it's five. Anyway, and so this interlocal agreement is not so easy to just do away with since it does involve more than one government. But also, the verbiage of who hires, who can terminate, and for what reasons is actually very interesting in the creating documents that came from the 2013 agreement that put this together. I'll tell you about that in just a second. I'm going to read you government documents in a second because it's relevant to the authority to do what's been done here. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Did you read those documents to your children?
As they went to sleep, I sure enough did, yeah.
Okay, good. I was concerned. I wanted to make sure. All right, let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Just seeing some minor. If you're on 98 eastbound, just east and in the Var Beach Bridge, we're seeing just some minor slowdowns in that area. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Okay, from Resolution R-2013-17. Here we go. No, if you care about this issue, you're gonna see why I'm doing this. Duties of the West Florida Public Board of Governors, it goes on that the Board of Governors shall be accountable for the administration operation of the West Florida Public Library System. So who's responsible for the operation of the library system? According to the document that created the Board of Governance, it's not Wes, and it's not the county. It's the Board of Governance. Okay, so that's part one. Okay, part two. B, the Board of Governance shall recommend to the county administrator, which that's what happened. They had a vote, and they recommended to the county administrator or designee a library director to develop and implement a long-range plan, an annual plan of service. I'm going fast because this stuff isn't the key. An annual plan of service and an annual budget, and oversee the day-to-day operation of the West Florida Public Library System within the framework established herein. Okay. The library director shall be an employee of Escambia County and shall report directly or indirectly to the county administrator, so far so good, upon the written request of the Board of Governance. The county administrator or designee may remove. The Board of Governance, the county administrator or designee may remove and or reassign the library director within 30 days. So Wes maybe, was he able to make the hire? They recommend, okay, to him. But, okay, maybe. But also the Board of Governance can fire her if they want. Within 30 days, they can make this choice. Board of Governance shall conduct an annual evaluation of the library director and forward said evaluation of the county administrator or designee. So the authority for hiring and firing is a little bit unclear, but not what we thought it was, maybe. Then it talks about who's on the board. And then it talks about removing members of the board. This has to do with, you know, what happened with, I forget her name, the one that D.C. removed, okay? Let's see. After all members shall be appointed for a term of 2 years, because it's all about staggering the terms when you start a board and all that. Where a vacancy occurs, the appointment shall be made for the unexpired part of the current term. A member may be reappointed to succeed himself, and it goes on and says, termination of a board member. Board of Governance may recommend to the appointing authority the removal of a Board of Governance member who accrues 2 unexcused absences of the Board of Governance during the calendar year. Absences may be excused by a majority vote of the members present at any meeting. So it seems to indicate cause. Like, if you have to recommend based on cause, can people be removed for not cause? So I'm a little bit less confident that this is a nothing, as somebody reminded me. Andrew, you always say you're about process, and here you don't seem to be caring about the process. Okay. All right. I don't really care that much about the library director particularly as an issue, but other people seem to care a lot about this, and these are bits of information that I have learned subsequent to some of the other conversations we've had, and I just didn't want to forget to mention it. So there you go. That's my way of saying I think I was wrong about the contractor competency board with Mel Luna, and I may have been wrong about the library board. I still don't really care, but, you know, I want you to have information. 629 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the... What are you laughing about, John?
Just your last little part you said.
It's not that important to me, but, you know, if it's important to you, now you've got maybe more information you didn't have before.
And we're talking about it,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's in the news, and the people who are worked up are very worked up, which is, you know, fine. It's a democracy. It's citizen accountable government. That's the goal. That's great. I mean, when people are worked up, that means it's working. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. A new app for managing Trump accounts goes live today. About 6 million families so far have signed up for these accounts, which grant U.S. citizens born between 2025 and 2028 $1,000 from the federal government. The app lets families schedule additional contributions to the accounts up to $5,000 per year. The war in Iran is now 3 months old. President Trump says no nation has the right to control the Strait of Hormuz. He had his cabinet meeting at the White House yesterday where he dismissed a question about reports that a proposed deal would allow Iran and Oman to jointly control the strait.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. We got news yesterday from Governor DeSantis, a document of what he wants the House and the Senate to come back for special session to vote on with regards to property taxes. It's super interesting and also leaves a lot of questions open. And we're going to talk about it coming up next with State Representative Alex Andrade, my go-to guy for information on what's going on in Tallahassee. He'll join us next.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. The U.S.-Iran ceasefire tested as both sides trade attacks, with U.S. forces launching a new set of defensive strikes overnight.
A U.S. official tells Fox News that 4 one-way attack drones posed a threat and were shot down. Then a strike was also conducted against a control station near the city of Bandar Abbas that was about to launch a 5th drone. In response, the Iranians launched a drone and missile attack against Kuwait, targeting a U.S. base there, according to Iran's IRGC.
Fox's Trey Yingston, Tel Aviv. The Department of Justice reportedly launched a criminal investigation into author E. Jean Carroll.
Sources confirming the DOJ is investigating whether Carroll committed perjury while speaking at a deposition in her 2 civil lawsuits against him. Carroll won a $5 million civil judgment against Donald Trump in one case, claiming he sexually abused and defamed her.
Fox's Sue Guzman. America's listening to Fox News.
Six 31 at News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm David Wayne. 75 right now. We've got partly cloudy skies, looking like a very nice morning, but we'll check our full forecast up in a few minutes. Northwest Florida Senator Don Gates says he does plan to vote in favor of Governor DeSantis' homestead property tax elimination plan when the legislature takes that up during a special session beginning next week. The proposal would gradually raise the homestead exemption to $250,000 initially, then eventually $500,000, eliminating property taxes for more than 90% of homesteaded properties statewide. The measure would need 60% approval in both chambers before going to voters in November, where it would again need 60% approval to pass. Gates called property taxes the equivalent of renting your home from the government. Yeah, the small town of Century in the middle of a massive infrastructure overhaul. A lot of it isn't costing the town too much money. More than $23 million worth of wastewater, water and transportation projects are currently underway, funded nearly entirely through state grants and low-interest loans with principal forgiveness. Some of the work includes upgrades to the town's wastewater treatment plant, well rehabilitation, water meter replacements, and a new Freedom Road Bridge, Most of the projects now are just over halfway done. A federal judge in Miami is considering whether to keep a 16-year-old accused of murder on a Carnival cruise ship out of jail while the case proceeds. Timothy Hudson faces adult federal charges of first-degree murder and aggravated sexual abuse in the death of his stepsister, Anna Kepner, aboard the ship in international waters. Prosecutors are pushing to have his house arrest order revoked. The judge has not yet ruled. Two Pensacola women previously charged with neglecting young foster children are now facing aggravated child abuse charges. Escambia County deputies say that investigators established that Dinesha Blunt and Antonania Williams were not only responsible for failing to get medical treatment for those kids, they believe they caused the injuries themselves. The 1 and 3-year-old foster children were hospitalized with 25 combined injuries between them. Blunt is being held on $1 million bond, Williams on $500,000. The sheriff's office says more arrests are possible as that investigation continues. Well, registration for Escambia County's Play, Learn, and Grow summer camp closes on Sunday. The 7-week program runs June 8th through July 24th at 4 community centers across the county, and it's open to kids ages 5 through 13. Registration fee is $75. Scholarships are available. You can register at myescambia.com/summercamp. And again, that deadline for registration is June 1st. It is 6:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Get a quick look at our weather here. We are seeing some showers and thunderstorms possible in the forecast today and all the way through the weekend. Highs in the mid-80s today, tomorrow, and into the near future. And then low 70s as we head into the overnights. And if you're headed to the beach today, we are seeing double red flags right now, but they could switch to single red later on this morning. Also tracking a rip current statement through later this morning. It's 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Traffic is back flowing smoothly this morning. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Again, right now, 75 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors are awaiting the release of April's personal consumption expenditure price index reading due out later this morning. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect a month-over-month increase of 0.5% and a year-over-year rise of 3.8%. Minneapolis Federal Reserve President Neil Kashkari said on CNBC that bringing down inflation in the U.S. remains his top priority, warning that consumer prices are still much too high. Kashkari added that the central bank will continue taking a balanced approach to its dual mandate of price stability and full employment. CVS Health said it will restore coverage of Eli Lilly's blockbuster weight loss injection Zepbound and start covering its new obesity pill on its standard drug plans. It comes a year after CVS struck a deal with Novo Nordisk to make its drug Wegovy the preferred obesity treatment on its standard plans while dropping coverage of Zepbound. Futures are down this morning before inflation data later today. NASDAQ futures down by more than 100 points. That's Your Money Now.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spiked up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text SPARK to 215215 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text SPARK to 215215. That's SPARK to 215215.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Let me introduce you to Social Mirror. This is when we take the best content from your social media platform and deliver it to the phones, tablets, and computers of your target audience, where they live or wherever they go on the internet. You can add a call to action that sends people to your website or opens up their phone app with your phone number on it or gives them directions to find you. All of this comes with reporting to show how many people saw the ad and reacted to it.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com. The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm in the shower and I've got News Radio on the app.
Commissioner Kerry Smith at the Santa Rosa County Commissioner meeting.
All of a sudden I hear Andrew McKay with this dire report about explosions going on over Santa Rosa County. And I'm like, what? My wife's running into the bathroom. And I'm like, look out the window. And about that time, Andrew McKay tells us that it was a drill that we did yesterday here for the emergency management.
Totally involved in our community.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
If the members are supporting good policy, then, you know, I see their budget items. That's just something you take into account. I mean, if they're being difficult on things that are important to our voters, because that's really the fight, is really who's going to represent the voters that we got elected to serve and who kind of is doing their own agenda. And Republicans get into trouble when they run on an agenda and then they go up and do different things than what they told. And I think we've seen that in different parts of the country. But so like I'm fighting, hey, we told our voters we're going to do this. We got to do it. There's resistance to that. That's just the nature of what you deal with. And so fine, you know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. Well, I am going to see that budget. And, you know, man, you know, yeah, there's that road. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. You need a road. Oh, I'm sure that's good. Oh, wait a minute. You know, where were you on our tort reform? Where were you on school choice? Oh, well, I don't know. You know, so you just do it, right?
So the governor, when he was speaking at the Federalist Society on Thursday, came right out in the open and said, yeah, I absolutely use the veto, the line item veto to punish disobedient legislators. This didn't particularly come as news to us. It was just news that he would be willing to say it right out in the open. Joining us now, we have Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. were you at all surprised that he actually said out loud the thing that we all have seen very specifically in connection to your budget items?
No, I mean, keep in mind, like, so last year, I had several things vetoed, but it wasn't even my most heavily vetoed budget year. Like, I still brought tens of millions of dollars back to Northwest Florida.
Right.
What was funny to me was how he said that was essentially like the circumstance where he would use it. In my circumstance, if he targeted me for personal reasons, it's because I brought to light and railed against fraud, waste, and abuse. You know what I mean? Like, I just called out the fact that, like, James Uthmeyer stole $10 million in Medicaid funds and funneled it to his PAC. So he doesn't just use it if you're not conservative. Sometimes he uses it if you're more conservative.
If you just don't do what he says. And I take that note. That's fair. I thought it was also kind of funny that this came right after comments about the importance of knowing your powers and the restrictions on your powers and the balance of powers and checks and balances. And I thought, Okay. Anyway, I mentioned that in passing. I wanted to give you a chance to comment since that just had happened last week, and I still thought it was an amazing thing for him to say out loud. But as you say, not even only when it's a matter of policy disagreements. Let's talk about the property tax proposal, and let's, before we get into too much of it, let's get the details out. There's several parts of this, and I want, you and I have both read this, and you're the lawyer, I'm just the philosopher. Even you think there are things about this that are a little bit, it's unclear, right? There's things that you're not sure what they mean.
Yeah, I mean, remember, so he's been talking about property taxes for over a year now, and we've been asking, where's the plan for over a year now? He finally put pen to paper and shared language with us that I received, I think, at like 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon. For the first time ever, he put pen to paper. And we're supposed to be voting on this stuff next week, June 1st through June 3rd. This is, I would say,
after having to review the budget this week for a vote on Friday, right?
Yeah, this is, I would say, not the best way to govern. Of course, you know, this, you know, pushing through some major policy that has dramatic effects on several layers of government, you know, it's a good idea for us not to actually vet it and go through a regular session. I mean, the Florida House tried to have a property tax discussion
right
during regular session, and he insisted on it not being. In fact, the Florida House passed a proposal that eliminated all property taxes immediately on homestead property other than the school property tax, the property tax for public schools, and they refused to take it up. This one's obviously weaker than that in some respects, but it includes the school ad valorem tax as well, which will result in, you know, a dramatic cut to public schools across the state. You know, my you know, rough math says like almost $40 million in Santa Rosa County, likely over $70 million in Escambia County being cut from our school district's budgets, like in the first year in 2027, once when it goes into effect. So
let me pause you there, because I want to make sure we get all the details for people who might not have read it or seen the news report. So we'll do that in a second, because the money is important, the amount of money, the impact to the school board is important, all of this, and I want to make sure we get it. Hang on for just a second, Alex. Let's get traffic on the fives.
No accidents or delays to report to you. Everything is rolling good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Okay, so back to Alex Andrade. Here's how I read it, and you tell me if I've got anything wrong. Starting in January of 2027, your homestead exemption would go to $150,000, whatever it is now. It's $50,000 now. It's the first $25,000 and then the third $25,000. And then you have the cap on the overall valuation based on the 3% per year for the Save Our Homes. This would put the entire homestead exemption immediately to $150,000. And then the following year in 2028 would go to $250,000. And then there's a provision for it to increase after that to the point where it eventually will be entirely eliminated, if I read it correct. But as you mentioned, one of the key features of this is it's no longer just the county slice or the city slice and the county slice. It's also the school board slice. So it would be defunding massive chunks from the counties, from the cities, and from the schools, right? Do I have that right?
Yes. And this also, this proposal also has no protections on keeping law enforcement budgets at least at the same level they are today. So that had been in the House proposal, right?
You guys had that in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would still, you know, threaten, even our proposal would still threaten law enforcement budgets, because, you know, keeping it stagnant this year, you know, going forward, saying you can't go below would still, you know, potentially threaten, you know, increases in law enforcement budgets every year.
If you don't have more money coming in, you can't afford a raise. You might not be able to lower it, but you also wouldn't probably be able to fund an increase, right?
Yeah, even our proposal, which protects law enforcement budgets better than this proposal, would still result in like the inability of law enforcement to hire new officers. You know, this one puts no parameters or protections in place for law enforcement agencies. It does allow for ad valorem taxes to be used to pay for law enforcement, but it says nothing about protecting their budgets. So, I mean, there's no discussion about an offset of this There is a discussion about us setting up some type of a state fund, but we don't have the money in our state budget to supplement and offset local governments to this extent. So it's unclear to me what we'd be doing. And keep in mind, the governor proposing this is not going to be the governor having to address any unforeseen or foreseen problems that this referendum would create if it passed in, you know, part of our constitution. So we got a governor who is, you know, leaving office very soon, who will not be facing any of the consequences of, you know, this policy, who has a track record of already, I mean, he's leaving the next governor in a significant financial hole on so many other things. It's wild. This would just be another item on the list of things that he'd be leaving the next governor to have to deal with.
A couple of things that I thought were interesting about the proposal that we haven't mentioned yet. One is it only applies to people who have lived here for 5 years prior to the homestead exemptions. It's not clear to me whether, you know, like if you've lived here for 2 years, when this goes into effect, would you get the full thing or would you have to have been here for 5 years? But it's very clear that going forward, if you moved here, say, in 2028, you would not get this full homestead exemption until you've been here for 5 years. It would be some kind of a gradual. Is that right?
Yeah. You're right. Like people who have not lived here for 5 years as of today, I'm not 100% sure what they would qualify for every year. Say in 6 years, if this passed, someone who moved here would have to wait for 5 years to get the full benefit of the homestead tax exemption that this would put in place.
What about MSTUs and MSBUs? Because we have a lot of those here locally, and I couldn't tell from the proposal to what degree this affects it. I mean, I guess an MSBU might not be affected because that's not an ad valorem tax, but an MSTU certainly is, right?
The answer to that question is unknown. I gotta do some more research and talk to some more folks today.
Okay.
About it. Keep in mind, like I've had the benefit of looking at this on my phone so far. you know, I will be getting to a computer very soon. I'll look at all the statutory references in the 11-page proposal and try and discern whether or not the statutory references tie into MSBUs and MSTUs. But okay. It's unclear to me right now. If they would or wouldn't apply.
I think there's also a provision in here that would reduce the cap on non-homestead properties increasing in value from 10% to 5%. So that's did you see that? I think that was also in there.
Yeah. So going forward, it looks like starting in, I think, 2028, they couldn't increase by that 10% valuation that they can right now.
Okay. But it sounds like your take on this is there's a lot of weird stuff in here. I'm not sure that it all makes sense. And we're going to be rushed to evaluate this out of the ordinary legislative process where you would have the committees and the testimony and the, you know, adjusting and the modifying and the amending. It's just going to be, hey, come and vote on this and, you know, good luck next week.
Yeah. And I mean, keep in mind when DeSantis was pushing this last year, not this legislative session, but last legislative session back in 2025, we put in $1 million to do a full-fledged analysis, to have a full understanding of all the financial impacts of a proposal like this, and the governor vetoed that money. He didn't want us to study this. He didn't want us to understand the downstream impacts. He didn't want us to understand the net effect to the state and local governments and all the services that we rely on. He almost, it's like he does not want folks to understand the impacts that this would have.
Do you think it's designed to fail?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if it's designed to fail, if it's just some type of political stunt. I am 100% on with eliminating property taxes, but I'm not on board with us doing it without a full understanding of the financial impacts and what, you know, local governments can and can't sustain. I'd be perfectly happy if we had this conversation and also discussed offsets, revenue offsets, to try and lessen the impact. But I mean, $40 million hit or $35 million hit to Santa Rosa County's budget alone, the county commission's budget, You know, that's a significant impact if their budget's around $280 million, you know.
You think you can't afford good roads now, right?
Right. And to now throw in school districts, which, you know, right. we haven't discussed before. By the way, we're constitutionally obligated to fund public school districts in Florida and to keep them at certain class sizes. You know, the teacher-student ratio is constitutionally required to be at certain levels. And it's the state that would have to pick up the tab based on the constitutional amendment. So where's the state going to come up with that money? We don't have the money to significantly offset those cuts to school districts' budgets. And there's no discussion or plan contemplated, and DeSantis has never talked about one. It's we need to be having adult conversations, and this whole process has been designed to prevent and eliminate adult conversations about the net effects of what this is going to do. So, you know, right now, like my issues are with the process and how this has been done. It's been done, you know, in the dark night. You know, he's withheld information intentionally. He's dropping this stuff in the last minute. We found out yesterday we were going to have a special session next Monday. Yeah. So I'm driving over to Tallahassee to present my healthcare budget tomorrow morning and pass the budget, and then going home on tomorrow night, and then I'll have to come back over on, I guess, Monday through Wednesday to take up a, you know, this proposal, and you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to vote for it or against it, or what we're going to do, if we're going to change it or amend it. You know, I don't know what the Senate's going to do. You know, I'd be curious to know individual senator by senator what their feelings are on this, because I'm not sure if the Senate has the votes to pass this right now.
Yeah, and of course this would still be a constitutional amendment. We'd have to vote on it in the fall even if it did pass, so 60% would have to approve it. But by the way, I forgot, I didn't even mention the part, there's a specific portion that says ad valorem taxes can only be spent on, and it gives a list of like six or eight things and nothing else. So it's not a, you know, there's no more provision for general spending with, you know, general fund revenue from ad valorem, except if it's on the list, like education, law enforcement, fire service, you know, roads, stormwater, natural resource projects. And I mean, that's kind of it and nothing else. So anyway, it's a very, I don't know what to make of it either. I have a lot of questions. I hope we have a good conversation about it next week. And again, I know you're busy working on budgets. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that, and I kind of wanted to. You didn't realize you were signed up for your last year to be a full-time legislator, but look at you now. Alexandra.
You know, it's a blessing to do the job, Andrew. Yeah. I'm not complaining.
I know. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2 in his last year, term limited out. Alex, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for helping me understand some of this stuff and keeping us informed. And good luck tomorrow and in Tallahassee next week as well.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John, your initial reaction?
This is nuts. This is nuts.
Even as, again, a supporter of eliminating property taxes. Like, what is this?
Yeah. So he brought up a lot of valid points that need to be addressed.
Yeah, let's at least have an adult conversation.
I like that, adult conversation. All right, no accidents or delays to let you know about. Everything is flowing smoothly. No issues there. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you have a home improvement project you need to work on, and by the way, this is like, you know, silt and erosion control qualifies, okay? Or, you know, working on a foundation or fixing studs or doing, you know, any kind of remodeling inside, outside, all that stuff. Pensacola Hardware has your gear. And not just your gear. I mean, they have the stuff, okay? They want to order it because they have it in stock. If they don't have it, you probably don't need it. Honestly, they've been doing this for so long, 175 years. They know. You know, what people need, what they don't need, how that changes over time. Okay, but also, they're the source of information. So if you want to know how to do something, they will tell you. They will help make sure that you know how to do it safely, properly, effectively. You don't waste time and money doing it the wrong way or doing it in a way you're going to have to redo it again in a couple of years. That's your place. Institutional knowledge. Talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and ask them, you know, what's going on. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 175 years.
This June, Osceola Golf Course turns 100 years old. Step into a century of stories with friends and family at Osceola Golf Course. Join Osceola Golf Course for the centennial celebration June 5th through 7th with a story slam, great food, and a free family golf clinic. All weekend, don't miss the $100 tee time special. Range balls included, up to four players. Osceola Golf Course, 100 years strong and still swinging. Osceola Golf Course is owned and managed by Pensacola Parks and Recreation. Visit OsceolaGolf.com for more information.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hurricane season is here. Is your home protected? At StormTech Shutter Systems, they provide custom hurricane protection built for the Gulf Coast, including roll-down shutters, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, storm panels, and storm fabric systems. Their professionally installed products are built to code and designed to protect what matters most. Financing options are available to help make protecting your home easy. Don't wait until the next storm is on the radar. Call today for your free estimate. StormTech Shutter Systems. Protection you can trust when it matters most.
I got a good note here. Somebody says, you know, it's interesting that on the one hand, they're wanting to slash these local and county, you know, county and city budgets. And then on the other hand, they want to tell you, you can only spend the money on these things. It's a double-edged sword, screw, whatever you want to say. And also, the governor having you sign off on the budget today and then do property taxes on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before he has to go through and line item veto things that he might use against disobedient legislators? Interesting observation.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Could fighting disrupt the talking? I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. New skirmishes between the U.S. and Iran despite a ceasefire in place.
Perhaps complicating matters this morning, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps says it targeted a U.S. airbase in what CENTCOM calls an egregious ceasefire violation. And CENTCOM says Iran launched a ballistic missile toward Kuwait that was successfully intercepted by Kuwaiti forces. Iran calls it retaliation after U.S. forces shot down five Iranian one-way attack drones over the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. says it also hit an Iranian ground control station in Bandar Abbas before it could launch a sixth drone.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera at the White House, where a cabinet meeting yesterday, President Trump threatened Iran and even U.S. strategic partner Oman if they try to control the Strait of Hormuz shipping.
The strait will open immediately. But it's got to be perfect. I'm not going to do this. I didn't do this to get a crummy agreement.
Oil prices are rising back up about 3%.
We're also tracking developments in the conflict between Israel and Iran's largest proxy, Hezbollah. The IDF launched a series of heavy strikes overnight, targeting the southern city of Tyre and farther north in Sidon. After evacuation orders were given, at least 8 people were killed in southern Lebanon.
Fox's Trey Yingston, Tel Aviv. 2 more boat strikes in the past 2 days as the U.S. military keeps up patrols off South America's coast, cracking down on drug traffic.
Two accused narco terrorists are reported to have been killed in the latest strike. One man was reported killed in a boat strike Tuesday with 2 survivors left stranded in the water. Southern Command says the Coast Guard was notified to launch a search and rescue operation. Nearly 200 people have been killed in around 60 boat strikes since September.
Fox's Chris Foster. They are not searching for survivors anymore in Washington State's paper mill disaster. 9 workers missing after a giant chemical tank imploded are now presumed dead.
As individuals are recovered from the site, they'll undergo decontamination before being transported to the Cowlitz County Coroner's Office.
Longview Fire Battalion Chief Matt Amos. 2 others were also killed, 7 hospitalized. America's listening to Fox News.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
The Coast Guard will go out searching again for Lynette Hooker off the coast of the Bahamas after getting new information from her husband.
Investigators have been looking at GPS data from Brian Hooker's phone, in which he was using a marine navigation app. That data's pointed them to new areas of interest that have not been searched as of yet. A source tells Fox U.S. authorities plan to focus on an area of the Bahamas Sea of Abaco with waters reaching 25-foot depths. Brian and Lynette were headed back to their sailboat earlier this year when he reportedly said Lynette fell off their dinghy. But Lynette's daughter, Brian's stepdaughter, has raised questions about what happened, saying Brian had anger issues and her mother was an excellent swimmer. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Yet another person is going to prison in the drug overdose death of Friends TV star Matthew Perry.
Kenneth Iwamasa, the final person involved in the ketamine death of actor Matthew Perry, received a sentence of 3 years and 5 months in prison. Exactly what prosecutors wanted for the personal assistant who sat at the center of the entire incident, buying the ketamine that would cause the death of the Friends star and injecting him with a lethal dose. The 60-year-old was the first of the 5 people to reach a deal with prosecutors, pleading guilty in August of 2024 to 1 count of conspiracy. He also became the most important witness for the prosecution, which is why the jail time is significantly less than what he might have faced without cooperating. Michelle Polino, Fox News.
2 doctors have gotten prison time. So has a drug counselor who sold the fatal ketamine dose. Another doctor linked to Perry's death got home confinement and then supervised release. We'll get an inflation update later this hour. And ahead of that, on Wall Street, stock futures are falling the day after record highs for the Dow and the NASDAQ. In the NHL playoffs, Carolina shut out Montreal to take a 3-1 lead in the Eastern Conference Final. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Good morning, 7:05 at News Radio 92.3. It's 74 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. We're going to get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. A special legislative session kicks off 7:05. I'm sorry, John, I did it again.
It's okay.
Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's all right. You just owe me lunch. Okay, so no accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Yeah, everything is rolling smoothly. I want that free lunch. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Sounds good. Anytime, John. 75 and partly cloudy right now. Looking at our news headlines today, we do have a special legislative session kicking off Monday aimed at putting homestead property tax elimination on the ballot in November. If voters approve it, local governments like Escambia County could face a loss of revenue. Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno says he's got a plan, but not a pretty one.
I guess I kind of take the approach, we're going to be ready for what comes our way. There are some other strategies that we can put in place if we need to. But let's see what comes out of the session and let's see what that number equates to. If anything at all makes it to a referendum, we'll just have to wait and see. But we'll know a little bit more probably in the next 2 weeks.
And Moreno tells News Radio 92.3 the county will be in close contact with its legislative delegation as the session unfolds next week. The governor, of course, pushing for a big increase in the homestead exemption to $250,000, then eventually up to $500,000, which he says would eliminate property taxes for more than 90% of homesteaded Florida properties. A West Florida high school video game team has been competing at the national level, and the skills they're building go even beyond the screen. The school's esports team reached the top 8 in the nation in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate before finally losing on Wednesday night. Coach Jared Dampson says esports athletes are being recruited for jobs in air traffic control and military drone operations because of the focus and reaction time that they develop. The team says they'll be back at it again next season.
Downtown Milton's flooded before. City leaders are hoping to make sure it doesn't happen again. The proposed state budget includes nearly $90,000 for portable flood barriers along the Blackwater, where parts of the city did go underwater back in 2020. The barriers can hold back up to 40 inches of water, and the legislature votes on that budget on Friday. 7:07 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We will have a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high near 82 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into Saturday, 50% chance of rain, high near 84. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's partly cloudy. We've got 75 degrees. Your next news at 7:30. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Lunch was great, but this traffic is awful.
Can we stop at a bathroom?
Are you all right?
I keep having stomach issues after eating, like diarrhea, gas and bloating, abdominal pain, and sometimes oily stools.
Sound familiar? Those stomach issues may actually be a pancreas issue called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Creon pancrolipase may help manage EPI. Creon is a prescription medicine used to treat people who can't digest food normally because their pancreas doesn't make enough enzymes.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall. If you are allergic to pork or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon. Call 800-633-9110 or visit creoninfo.com to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
I'm asking my doctor about EPI and if Creon could help.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
The midterm elections. Who will win? Who will not?
One question about the 2026 races is already answered.
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.